Some of the guests were calling for second helpings of the poor brute. And after that, when the roast meats and fowls and fish and stews and curries were served, the veracity with which the company punished each succeeding course quite put me off. God knows my generation were good trenchermen, but they weren't fit to guzzle in Ethiopian company. It was wolf, 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 with an unrestrained vengeance. And those exquisite females, like so many tawny goddesses in their fine silks and gauzes, laid in as hard as the men. Talk about having hollow legs. And they drank pint for pint, too, taking their cue from Her Majesty, who bade fair to outstrip her potations of the afternoon. It was, as you can imagine, a noisy business all round, and by the time the desserts and fruits were reached, it was like being in a farmyard at feeding time. It didn't stop them talking, mind. The din of conversation rose as the drink went down, and Mastiat found time, between her gargantuan mouthfuls of food and gulps of liquor, to call down amiable curses on the head of Ulaba Walk, who had defied a royal command to attend the feast and flounced off in dudgeon when rebuked.
"She becomes tiresome," says Mastiat, and heaved a mighty yawn.
The Tej was coming home to roost at last, and her speech was thick and slow.
"I begin to think that what I said half in jest, I should decree in earnest. Send her to Gobazi."
She lowered another gobletful.
"A penance for both of them."
Fazl, who was sitting first down the table, shook his head.
"Would your majesty know a moment's peace if your half-sister were Gobazi's queen, with his army at her command?" "To make another attempt against me?"
laughed Mastiat.
"Not so, old soldier. Gobazi would have none of it. He fears the Gala too much, most of all the Gala queen."
At which cavalry and infantry roared applause and drank to her, with the others joining in.
"And yet," says Fazl, when the shouting had died, "Gobazi's uncle visited the Deja's Nepia at Santara. What for, if not to stand first with the British in your majesty's room?"
"By God, it is the truth," cries infantry. "Did I not say there is no knowing how the British might dispose of Magdala when it is taken?"
He scowled half drunkenly at me.
"If Gobazi worms his way into their confidence, might it not be given to him?"
At this there was an uproar of opinion, stilled when Mastiat spoke with tipsy deliberation.
"No."
She sat down her goblet carefully and refilled it, more or less with an unsteady hand.
"No. Gobazi's a worm, you say. Well, what can he give the British? His army of worms?"
She chuckled.
"Worms who crawl away at the sight of our spears. No, the British Dejaz has chosen already."
She threw out an arm across my shoulders.
"Chosen already, I say. Has he not?"
She leaned towards me, and I prepared to catch her, but she kept her balance.
"Has he not?"
she repeated, and giggled, enveloping me in Tej fumes. The great black eyes were half closed, the smiling lips were moist and parted, and her braids were brushing my face.
"Has he not?"
she said a third time, her voice a drowsy murmur. And I glanced at Fazl, but he had turned away to his black charmer, and no one else was paying us any heed.
"Has he not?"
For the fourth time, drunk as David's sow, but not too far gone to kiss me gently, playing her tongue along my lips, whispering,
"Oh, beautiful, more beautiful than Basha Falaka. Are you all so beautiful, you English?"
"Just a few of us, ma'am," says I, and she gave a whoop of laughter and heaved her bulk away, knocking over her goblet, which I gallantly rescued and refilled, after a fashion, for I was feeling the worse for wear myself, what with too much booze and the rising clamour and laughter. For now, the party was becoming lively. And if you don't believe what I'm about to tell you, I can't help it. Young Cavalry and his bint had evidently had their fill of meat and drink, and were starting to satisfy another appetite, pawing and fondling with increasing passion, and slipping off their stools onto a mattress which some obliging menial must have laid beneath their places.
Gad's me life, thinks I.
Not before the savoury, surely. But there was no doubt about it. They were setting to partners in earnest, and Fazel, seated next to them, had unwound a fold of his sharma, was holding it up to shield the performers from the public gaze. The damn spoilsport. And blow me if Cavalry's other neighbour wasn't doing likewise, providing a